Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Word Vomit Podcast, a podcast where we give our take on the worlds of video game, music, comics, movies, and tell on this episode we hate.
That's right.
Gender to my left.
My salt is real.
And we're recording from Garage Studios. This podcast is free for your listening pleasure. If you want to help the podcast out, make sure you're liking, sharing, and subscribing. Guys, what is up?
Things. Well, the temperature in this room is pretty up there. Summer.
Hi.
It's hot in here. It must be summer.
Yeah.
I remember summer.
You know, summers usually are. I mean, really. Podcast, we could do this show with shirts off.
I recommend that you don't do that, Sean.
I mean, whatever.
I'm asking
it's
you
really
not to.
It's really hot.
This is a shirts on area.
My pants are on. I mean,
I would. I don't think you need to explain that.
Okay.
Sean, put your pants back on. Dude, why are you taking your pants off?
I am the king of no pants.
No.
Actually. You will not hinder my kingdom.
What's this, the hat? What's the hat? That's the dance pants off, dance off? Is that what's going on?
No, I'm not dancing.
No.
My pants are above my head. I'm announcing
you know what?
To the
That'll
world.
Be the rule. If you want to take your pants off during this podcast,
you gotta dance.
You got to dance for it.
Well, no, I'd say you got to dance continually with your pants off. Doesn't matter what's going on. You got
to
dance.
My pants are above my head. I'm announcing to the world I'm a flagpole. There we go. That's what's happening. So, yeah.
I feel like that would make you just more sweaty.
Yeah.
Does that?
Well, I'm in the wind, so.
There's no wind in
I'll
here.
Try not to be downwind. Because, yeah, I'm sweaty.
You're gross. You're gross. Lots to talk about on this episode.
Yeah.
Yes.
We just had E3.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And originally, this was going to be the entire topic for the show. And then I saw some bullshittery.
Yes.
If that's my word.
That's good. It's a good word.
That's
bullshittery.
Yeah. Yes.
In the gaming and music news, I felt like we needed to address it.
Yes.
These are good topics.
So should we, I'm going to put this based off of my personal opinion as far as which one pisses me off the most, but I'll let you guys decide which one we start off with.
I want to go with the most ridiculous. Let's go with the Gene Simmons.
You want to go Gene Simmons?
I want to do Gene Simmons.
Ridiculousness.
Because it's me, like...
I don't have much to say about the Gene Simmons other than my comments, but that's about... Just bring it. It's
okay.
You start with the article. Start with it.
Starting with that one.
Yeah.
Okay, Gene Simmons in the news. And if you haven't heard about this, you must have your head in the ground. Because this is fucking ridiculous.
Well, you know what?
This doesn't even matter if you're a big music person or not. This is just fucking insane.
You know, I want to say, if they haven't heard, then good for them. Because this is silly. The fact that energy...
And I'm sorry that we're going to introduce this to you right now.
I'm not, but yeah.
Through this.
The fact that there's money involved in this scenario is ridiculous. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Gene Simmons is trying to trademark the horns. And for anybody who doesn't know what I'm talking about when it comes down to the horns, I'm talking about the horns that you see at rock concerts when people are raising their hands up in the air. It almost looks like the Too Sweet from wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah.
But instead of having like the tips of it, you have the thumb over the two fingers.
Inverted Spider-Man.
Yeah, that's a good thinking about it. An inverted Spider-Man.
Superfly Jimmy Snuka at the top rope.
No, that's the sign language.
But
science,
yeah,
I
that's
you.
The that's the thumbs out with it. So, yeah.
This dude is trying to make money off the universal sign of Rock On.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
I look at that and go, why, Gene Simmons? Why?
Yeah, Gene.
And
really?
Can you do that?
Because he's an asshole.
I mean, I don't...
He's always been known as an asshole.
Well, he's also a guy I've watched some of his shows or whatnot, documentaries on Kiss and whatnot. He is a dude who told me, like, all about the merchandising and licensing of Kiss brand.
Kiss meets Santa Claus. It was Kiss Saves Christmas.
Yes, Kiss Saves Christmas. But he has a library of Kiss merch in his office. Like, it's huge. It's like there's a Kiss museum. He has one of everything that Kiss has ever made there. And I'm like, okay, now you want to...
That's not really weird.
No, that's not.
This is weird.
But the fact that he's... But I'm not surprised that
he's... But
he's
basically saying
that.
He's like monetizing things.
I'm not surprised that he's trying to monetize something.
Yeah. So
it's just ridiculous that it's a gesture.
I pulled up the CNN article.
Oh, my God.
That's going to be the only time that you get a plug from us, CNN, so you better milk it for all it's worth.
Yes, for all our fans who care about CNN.
All 10 of us.
Rock and roll fans for decades have used the sign language gesture for I love you to symbol rock on.
Is that I Love
yeah,
You?
Yeah, it is. It is the I Love You, and depending on how you use it, I've seen people do this. There's the devil horns, and but yeah, continue.
But motherfucker, and this is this isn't CNN, mind you, but that's just me adding my
thing.
It'd
be great if they did say that.
Wow.
Though.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
I would respect that more if they did that. But anyway,
but
continue.
Kiss frontman Gene Dickwad, I'm adding that as his middle name.
I get that.
Simmons claims he used it first.
I swear he's wrong.
He is dead wrong. I don't think you people realize how pissed off this makes me, because I realize what you were saying. I'm going to get back to the article.
Yeah.
But I understand what you were saying, Randy, that he has merchandise up the wazoo for Kiss. But there are certain things that should not be profited on.
No.
And the universal sign for rock is one of those things.
Yeah. Like, that's something that, like, the crowd does as a show of appreciation. I mean, so, that's, I think that's, like, universal. That's, like, that belongs to the people.
I'm curious as to what he thinks he's going to gain out of this.
Like, right?
Well, like, you know, I'm going to let you finish your article, and then we can get our thoughts in there, but go ahead.
The rocker has filed an application to trademark the hand gesture in which the index and pinky fingers are extended. The middle and ring finger are tucked down toward the palm and the thumb extended. That's actually a really good description of it.
Yeah.
Simmons claims he first used the gesture commercially in November of 1974 during the Kiss Hotter Than Hell tour.
Wait, he's saying he monetized it or commercialized it, is what he's saying?
He used it commercially.
Because he did it in a concert?
John Lennon also used the gesture on the cover of the Beatles' Yellow Submarine / Eleanor Rigby record in 1966.
I'm going to point out that if he doesn't notice that and that is something that holds up, I'm sorry, Kiss, you lose, because that album is
I'm not even going to say Kiss. Yeah. I'm just going to say Gene.
Gene.
I'm not going to lump the rest of the guys in this.
Because they don't care about that. Yeah, because that album is ginormous. The Yellow Submarine album
is fucking
huge.
This is going to fall flatter than the Demon from the WCW days.
Ugh. I can't believe you said that.
Because fuck you, Gene Simmons.
What the fuck? For real, Gene? Come on, bro.
Simmons may love to rock, but owning the symbol for it might be difficult to prove. Now,
was he drunk when he made this choice?
High, maybe.
He was on some Molly.
Maybe. Is that what it is? I don't know.
Okay. So in response to this, 14 hours ago, reported by Ultimate Classic Rock, Nikki Sixx and Wendy. I did some research on this. And I found out that it was actually Ronnie James Dio that was the not necessarily the creator, but was the person that introduced the horns.
Is that true?
I don't call it the devil horns.
Okay.
And there's a reason for that. Okay. So I always felt like the church, any types of religion, would always mistake that for the devil horns.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact is, it was used with religious intent.
All right. You confirm that. Cool.
So here's the story.
It's been around for all.
Here's the story. Ronnie James Dio actually got that symbol, that sign, from his grandmother. Because in certain circles of religion, there is something called the evil eye. Mm-hmm. El mal ojo. And if the person felt like the Malojo was looking on them, they would use that sign in order to ward it away.
Okay. I mean, it seems... Ooh.
Oh, we got stuff breaking now.
Oops. My bad.
In essence, it was used to ward away evil spirits.
Okay.
Which, if you think about it, that's what an exorcism is. So what ended up happening is when the religious... I don't want to insult them, because I'm just saving all my anger towards Gene Simmons. But when the religious folks saw that, they immediately saw it as the devil's horns.
Uh-huh. Like religious groups and whatnot.
Right. Just churches in general.
I'm sure.
That's why they would always tell like, don't let your kids listen to rock and roll music. Yeah. It's the devil's music. And they're putting up the signs for the devil. Mm-hmm. It's just like, no, man. It was actually something that I guess you could have actually gone behind. You could have actually supported, you know?
I guess. I don't know if Gene's up his own butt. I'm pretty sure he is for this. But Gene, why?
So going into it, Gene. Again, based off of Ultimate Classic Rock, Nikki Sixx took to Twitter joking that he was thinking of trademarking the middle finger.
Nice. That's a good tweet.
He used the popular bird flipping emoji to complete the tweet. Simmons is also getting blasted by the widow of a music legend and even a university president.
Which university?
Allow me to continue. Okay. So in the official filing, as mentioned before, the Kiss bassist said he had first employed the horn hand symbol on November 14th, 1974, during the Hotter Than Hell era. Research reveals this to be an age-old gesture, however. Used for centuries across various cultures, it also means I love you in sign language, which is, Gene, I don't love you.
Not now.
Do you just invert it like Spider-Man to, like, I mean, to be the opposite?
Because,
I have no idea.
That's the Spider-Man. That's what he uses.
Right? I don't know, dude.
You know. But most rock fans associate the devil horns with a similar gesture made by Ronnie James Dio.
Dio,
time to go.
Ah, oh, man.
Nice.
That was a Tenacious D right there for you guys. You must give your cape and scepter to me.
Pretty much.
And a smaller one for KG. Yeah.
Yo!
Why does KG get the shaft?
Because you were saying he was too old.
Yeah.
Those guys loved him. We all know that. Okay. But most rock fans associate the devil horns with a similar gesture made by Ronnie James Dio, who popularized it beginning in the late 70s. Simmons' move drew a swift rebuke from Dio's widow, Wendy. To try to make money off of something like this is disgusting, she told the Rap. It belongs to everyone. It doesn't belong to anyone. It's a public domain. It shouldn't be trademarked.
Thank you, Miss Dio.
You know, it's funny that he wants to try and do something like that. And it said, God gave rock and roll to you. I'm like,
I actually like that song.
That song's great.
Mm-hmm.
It was on the Bill and Ted soundtrack.
Oh, it is Bill and Ted soundtrack. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's about, it's for everyone, and he's trying to take something away.
I guess Gene in his old crotchety age is just getting more crotchety. I don't know.
Simmons goes on to say he believes that, quote, no other person, firm, corporation, or association has the right to use said mark in commerce, either in the identical form or in such near resemblance.
So are you saying that they can't dress up as him as a douchey old guy in makeup and a long-ass tongue? Oh.
There we go.
Well, yeah, there was that. Exactly, Windows 10. Exactly.
Yeah, fuck you, Windows 10.
Thanks, Windows.
But yeah, we...
But I still love you more than Gene Simmons.
But can't... I just don't get why he's going to waste time and money on this.
The president of the University of Texas, where fans have used a variant of this gesture in support of their school for decades, also weighed in.
Wow.
Sorry at Gene Simmons.
Not sorry.
Longhorns have been doing sign since the
50s. The wow.
More than 20 years before Kiss got going.
Not this. It's this. I thought Longhorns was this.
No, they do this.
Oh, okay.
It's laughable, I think, quite honestly, Wendy Dio added. I think Simmons has made a complete fool of himself.
Yeah.
It's disgusting.
Well.
He does that a lot.
I'm not surprised.
What does he want?
I'm not surprised that he has to do this. Again, I mentioned before, he is a guy who's tried. Let's
be honest. Is Gene trying to stay relevant?
Of course.
Yeah.
Is that what this is? Is this a ploy to be like, hey, I'm still here. Old rocker from the 70s that had a couple of hits, but no one gives a shit about anymore.
I'm not surprised because he is the guy who, it's obviously him in the group that is all down for the merchandising of his brand and Kiss.
You know what? Here's the thing. I've got no problem protecting your own brand.
Yes, of course.
And
let me
give you an example. And I know I've gone back to wrestling already once before, but I'll do it again because this actually did happen, and I find it completely insane, but I also understood. Diamond Dallas Page always used the Diamond Cutter sign.
Yeah.
That was his thing. That was what people associated DDP for, the diamond cutter sign.
Yeah.
Jay-Z used that sign in one of his music videos.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
And at first, Paige was just like, hey, that's really cool. He's using my diamond cutter sign. And I think he sent like a message over to him saying like, hey, dude, that's really cool that you're using my sign. And he goes, that's not your sign. That's my sign.
Bro.
And that's exactly what DDP probably said. Bro.
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 Diamond cutter.
Guess who walked away with a big chunk of money because of that line? DDP.
Because it's documented.
It is documented. Even to this day, if his music starts playing, you see the crowd in the audience immediately raise their hand and put up the diamond cutter sign. So when it comes down to protecting your trademark, the things that you have created.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Cool. I understand that. You took the time. You took the creativity. You used it. You perfected it. And now everybody does it. Jay-Z was like, no, that's my thing. And DDP was just like, bro.
Here's some proof.
Here's proof. But at no point in time, despite him using it in 1974 during the Hotter Than Hell tour, did he actually create that when there has been proof presented that has been going on for much, much longer times. I'm pretty sure that this was probably used even before the churn of the thousands, before it became like, AD 1000, AD 1001. It was probably used in like the 800s AD. Yeah. Because again.
Man, I would assume.
It's something that's been going on for so long. And it is what it is now for people like me who will spend tons of money to go to a rock show and throw the horns up to show my appreciation for the music that has gotten me through some really rough times. And for somebody to make money off of that absolutely sickens me. It is complete and utter garbage that he is trying to do this. And I have lost any respect that I had for Gene Simmons at all. It was there. Don't get me wrong.
Really?
Well, it was there.
He was, you know, because he was.
He contributed to the rock and roll
Kiss.
Scene.
Okay.
He was part of that lifestyle of Kiss. You know, Kiss wouldn't be Kiss without Gene Simmons.
Right.
But yes.
At this point, there's no recovery for it.
Is he the Lars Ulrich of the band now? Is that what happened?
Probably.
Because, you know, Lars Ulrich, you know, he became like the. Kind of the forefront douchey guy, Metallica.
Yeah, I get you.
Yeah, Metallica was more primarily of helping out their buddy.
Yeah.
Than they were of actually like going behind, you know, like fighting the good fight and everything. Yeah. No, it was just more like, all right, our good friend that we've known for two decades at this point, I'm guessing, is fighting for something. We should have his back.
Yeah.
Like, do we necessarily believe in it?
Well, you know, I watched a metal documentary. And they had gone to different parts of the world, and one of the places they went to was Israel. And one of the guys there was just like, and then Napster came out, and then I got introduced to all this.
Yeah.
And he goes, and I'm sorry, Metallica, I downloaded your albums, but I got to experience what Metallica was because of it.
The whole thing with Lars Ulrich who got me was when they were doing, I forgot which tour it was for, but he has stated in an interview going, hey, you know, I appreciate all the fans that come in because we might have the old metal fans that have been with us since Ride the Lightning with their leather jackets on and torn up jeans. Or we might see the younger frat guys with their collared shirts and hat backwards and they only know us for the Black Album, but then they'll hear newer songs and maybe they'll go home and download it on Napster and they'll hear Ride the Lightning. That way, right there, you said, go download my music on Napster and now you're going to tech Napster? Screw you, buddy. You can't have it both ways.
Yeah.
Just because you didn't think it was going to be as big as it was.
In his defense, he was saying that he was keeping an eye out, not so necessarily for Metallica, but for a lot of up-and-coming musicians.
But he made him look like it made him and the band and the whole musician scene
it did.
Look douchey.
It did. But on the flip side of that, a lot of artists lost a lot of money. To the point where they just stopped. They had to stop.
Yeah.
I would say.
And it's not like, oh, maybe this happened. No, it actually did happen.
No, it did. No, I'm not doubting it. But I'm also pointing out that
starting out,
if your music is not good enough where someone wants to buy it. Like, I was in there. I was a Napster user. I actually was at Sean Vander's house.
Oh, boy.
I downloaded music because I was happening to be there.
So there.
I did it at my house, too. But, you know, the dial-up days and whatnot. My brother was taking it all up trying to get his tracks going. But if there was a band I liked. I have a quite extensive CD collection. I bought music, no doubt. I'm just saying. It's good enough.
Quick question, you know, going a little bit to the side here, but do you guys still buy CDs?
I do, actually.
Sean Mander, when you get to music, do you buy CDs still?
I'm running into the problem of the albums that I want. They don't make CDs.
Oh, digital only.
Some of them are.
I'm like, dude, what the hell? But whatever.
Yeah. Foo Fighters' last album, St. Cecilia EP, it was a download only. Although I did go down to Portland last week, which is why I wasn't on the show.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where you were. We were trying to figure that out.
Yeah, I can't remember.
Because I had said you'd gotten a Matty Petty somewhere. You're like, you're being treated and spot up. Sean said you were...
Manuel was bounty hunting.
Yeah, I don't like...
Bounty hunting. And thank you for that, by the way. Makes you sound like more of a badass.
Sarah was like, I can't imagine him doing any of those things.
Whatever.
So you went to Portland. Okay.
That's a second life you guys will never hear about.
That's fine.
Why gotta be a dick? Why can't share that with us, man?
We can help you out. No.
Because it's, Sean the, and, it's, Sean for, and, it's for your protection.
Sean and I are very capable men. We know how to handle something like that.
Okay.
I'm not saying
it's
that
the Spider-Man reason why he never gives out his identity. It's for your safety.
Yeah, that's also a bullshit reason. I'm gonna put that out.
But it's still there.
That's dumb.
It may be dumb. It might be dumb, but it's there.
But anyway,
so I went over to a record show over there, or a record show, record shop, which, by the way, vinyl is making a huge comeback.
Oh yeah,
good.
And I actually did find a St. Cecilia EP vinyl.
Hey, oh yeah, because a lot of record labels were released vinyl. Like, and you can buy some of them top 40 hits on vinyl. At like Target now, which is weird to me.
And I actually did find the one for Wasting Light. And what was cool about the Wasting Light one is that they actually took the original master's tape and they chopped it up into pieces.
Oh.
And they put it in the albums.
Oh. Like actual pieces.
Like the actual pieces of it. I still have mine.
That's pretty rad.
But
doesn't that fuck up the vinyl though? Or is it something separate? Like, is it in a... Because I'm sorry, I'm imagining it like an actual piece.
Well, the way that the vinyl is like it's in the box, and then there's a sleeve inside of it.
Yeah.
And then they probably put it on top of the
sleeve. Okay, that's what I'm checking.
Between the sleeve
like,
and the art box.
That's what I'm saying. I'm like, do they have it protected? Because now I'm thinking like, did this thing just fuck up my album?
Well, it's a thin, you know, if anything's going to give, it's going to be the thin layer of tape.
Yeah, but that's...
You're not going to be able to listen to it.
No, but I'm just saying, it doesn't take a lot to scratch a vinyl record.
Yeah, fair enough.
But yeah.
But going back to the topic at hand anyways, Metallica, Lars, and then jump back into Gene Simmons. Fuck you.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it at that.
I don't get it. I mean, I get why he's doing it. I just don't get why you're doing it. Like I said in my statement offline, does he need the money because he has some like multiple STDs?
And he needs to pay for medication for
it? Or did he give, as I said, 1, 2, or 3 generations of women an STD and he now needs to cover that? Because I don't get it.
It can't be that much to cover.
Backup child support. You know,
Kiss got around a lot.
They really did.
Like a lot.
But
like he brags about him being able to beat out Wilt Chamberlain. So maybe there is that chance.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know how active he is now. Anyway.
I've said my piece.
Yeah, I'm done.
I've put my exclamation point on there.
I'm done with this. Ugh, that's so dumb. I can't believe that.
That's retarded.
I can't. I just can't.
Maybe I shouldn't say it like that. No, it's not. Yeah, whatever.
And now, for one thing that surprisingly made me so pissed off. To one that
past this like is Gene,
it's past Gene Simmons. This is how fucking bad it got.
Because this is video games now.
This is video games.
You done fucked up.
And
now.
This is one of the. Now I'm gonna actually use professional words on this. This is one of the. This is the highly engrossing, unethical thing that I have ever heard. Okay, so as many of our listeners know, we have given plenty of shit to Konami.
Mm-hmm. As everyone has.
Well, you know, act like shit and you get treated like shit.
Yep.
And it was more so of how they treated individuals.
Yeah.
You know,
Kojima especially.
Kojima also going into the pachinko market. And
I mean, the money side, I can't fault them on.
I can't fault them on that. For them to take the properties, like the worst thing about it was when they said something along the lines of making a new Metal Gear game. This was prior to the one that was announced last year or this year. I can't remember which one. But making a new Metal Gear game and then saying they did.
It's a pachinko game.
It's a pachinko game.
Yeah.
I can't be mad at that because that's all the rage in Japan. That's the thing. That's what they have.
Yeah, but that's like the biggest fucking trolling moment right there.
Yeah, a little. But they're like, oh, we
should
play
Brandy.
Not a little. To them, it's a little.
Randy. It's like, eh.
Yeah, to them.
Yeah.
But to
and I'm sure in Japan, they don't give a shit.
To the real world.
To the rest of the world.
don't know. It's a Japanese game. I mean, I'm just saying.
About 99.5% of the world.
To be honest.
Outside of Japan.
Thank
I haven't cared about a Metal Gear game since 3. So at this point, they already lost me already.
You still have an outstanding bet against Revengeance.
I know.
So let's go. Let's do that, okay?
But still.
But now, they are preventing people from finding jobs.
You assholes.
Now, I was yelling and I was screaming on the top of my lungs about Gene Simmons.
Yes.
This, I want people to understand that if I'm talking in this tone, how fucked up this really is. They are blacklisting any former employee of Konami or anybody who was previously employed by Kojima Productions, Hideo Kojima's company that he created after he left Konami. And they have blacklisted him, not just from the video game industry.
Shady.
But from damn near anything else.
Anything they touch.
Yeah.
Or close to. I mean, for people who don't understand what this is, basically, it's there was a... I wanted to say it's up until recently. This happened in Silicon Valley. Apple, Google, I want to say Sun Micro. All the big tech companies had a deal where if an employee
Cisco
left...
and whatnot.
Yeah, if an employee left... I'm going to say fired, but if an employee left... They could not find, they would not be hireable at another, like if someone left Apple, they could not work at Google. And that was like a thing that would happen. And I think, like I mentioned before, I think it was until recently, the United States government stepped in and said, that's illegal. You can't do that. Because that, again, that's good. Fucked up. That is super shady.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, 100% agree.
I mean, and all these other companies were all involved in it. I'm like, dang. And Konami, I don't know, they haven't pointed out whether or not this is a regular practice thing of all companies in Japan. Like, if you worked at, Atlas or...
Capcom?
Capcom. I don't think they do that. I don't think they care about that. Because if that was the case, there's a lot of people I know who wouldn't have jobs. Well, they wouldn't, because there's the producer from Capcom who made Okami. He started Platinum Games.
The guy who did Clover Studios, right?
Yes.
Oh, created okay, Platinum. Yeah.
He created games, and they're working with everybody.
Because,
you know, they fucking work with everybody.
No.
Anybody
so,
they can.
So let me pull up, yes. I pulled up the article from Ars Technica. I hope I'm saying that right. And
it's, Ars Technica. I was like, what?
So Konami reportedly blacklisting ex-employees across Japanese video game industry. If you leave the company, you cannot rely on Konami's name to land you a job. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. You're about to hear some really messed up.
I feel like I would just lie, or at least say, "Hey, man, I did work there, but I can't talk about it because of this shit."
I did not work for Konami.
I did not work for Konami.
According to the Wednesday report in the Nikkei Asian Review newspaper, Konami is apparently blacklisting former employees in the Japanese video game industry. The company is particularly targeting those who work for Kojima Productions, which was founded in 2016 by Hideo Kojima, who used to be a top designer at Konami. I'm sure we've talked about this plenty of times before, and everybody who at least listens to it has an idea of
Hideo
who
Kojima.
Hideo Kojima is. The video game giant behind the Metal Gear Solid series, among others, has been in something of a shift over the last 2 years, as it has transitioned from a console-focused company to a mobile-focused company. The Japanese newspaper wrote that 2 months ago, an unnamed Kojima production executive applied for Kojima to join ITS Kenpo, a health insurance company that focuses on the gaming industry. That application was denied, apparently, because the chair of that company's board, Kimihiko Higashio, is also a board member at Konami. Furthermore, according to the article, Konami is pressuring other companies not to hire its former employees, as the Nikkei Asian Review wrote. And they refer ex-employees of Konami's as ex-cons.
Okay.
A little weird, but okay.
Sounds very Japanese. That's how they say it.
One ex-con described his surprise at learning that Konami had instructed an employee at a television company not to deal with its former employees. In another case, a former Konami executive was forced to close his business due to the pressure from the gaming giant. Ex-cons are not allowed to put their Konami experience on their public resumes. If you leave the company, you cannot rely on Konami's name to land a job, explained a former employee. If an ex-con is interviewed by the media, the company will send that person a letter through a legal representative, in some cases indicating that Konami is willing to take them to court.
Over what?
Bad-mouthing them, essentially.
And let's be perfectly... That's if they're bad-mouthing them.
And here's the thing. It's one person against a giant video game company.
They're not that big anymore. But yeah.
That is
yeah,
raking right. in $300 million dollars well, off big of enough. Pachinko machines.
Big enough. They're big enough.
Wow.
I can't...
Fuck them.
That's a dick move.
How petty is that?
Real petty. Actually,
yeah.
not surprising.
Fuck them.
Not
I'm
surprising.
Done.
Not surprised by that at all, but yeah. not good either. It's mm-hmm. like, come on, guys. It's because Kojima left, and I will point out that it's probably because of that thing he did when they had that, was it the cup with the salty tears? I think if that did not get as big as it did, because it got huge.
Guillermo del Toro, right?
Yeah, Guillermo del Toro and freaking Daryl, and they had yeah. I think the Death Stranding, if that didn't get as big as it did, they probably wouldn't have been this salty, because this is really just the epitome of salt. They're just salting everything.
Fuck them.
Salt mine.
It's like, dang, they're that angry.
You want to say, oh, we're making a new Metal Gear game, and it's a pachinko game? Fuck you. You want to screw over the Castlevania license? Fuck you.
Here's the thing. We had talked about this before. We talked about the Castlevania Netflix series that's going to come out.
That's going to be rated R, by the way, which is going to be great.
And, oh, man. That's great.
Yeah.
If you guys are subscribed to Word Vomit Productions on YouTube, you're seeing that we are posting up a bunch of Let's Play videos. Not mm-hmm. as quickly as we'd like, but...
We're getting there.
We're getting there. But one of the things that we had discussed amongst each other was that I would play Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
That's
fan favorite.
Not happening now.
Fan favorite.
And... The whole point of it was that I could only play until I died.
Yep.
So I died once, and that was it.
Yeah. We said we
that's gonna be a, that was gonna be a
that's
great
a fan,
play
that would be
man.
fantastic because it either would be the best or the longest
or the shortest.
The shortest one.
And
I had a great idea for filler that we put in. We're like, yeah.
I was gonna also handicap myself by not using armor.
For anyone who hasn't played Symphony of the Night, number one.
It pains me.
Play Symphony of the Night because it's already late. Here's
the thing. I would have to do both castles, both
regular
and inverted. I had to get all the way to the end, not the mini endings in between. That's what we were going to do.
No,
we're
not going to do
it now. But I cannot,
in good faith,
good conscience, promote Konami's games on our Let's Play channel. And I'm not going to say, oh, we're a super high one. We're Game Grumps. We're up, up, down, down. No, we're not.
Can we get those guys on here?
Depending on how well
I do. Dude, if we get Xavier Woods.
Hold on. Let me answer his question. If I rank high enough at this year's Evo and they interview me, I'm dropping the gauntlet on him and Kenny Omega.
Oh, shit.
If I get high enough, if I'm proud of myself enough to get to a certain level and they interview me, that's where the gauntlet's going.
For anyone of our listeners out there,
on top of that,
who don't know, E-Man is going to be competing in
on top of
Evo
that,
2017.
The 3P fiasco, and then that. I mean,
and when
be
we
great.
Say and we say fiasco, we mean like Lupe fiasco.
Whenever that gets up there, whenever it does, but that would be great.
Like that, Xavier Woods. You know what? No, I'm going to say
Austin
it now.
Green.
Well, yes, Austin. Yeah,
is it?
He's Xavier Woods right now. Xavier Woods.
No, he actually introduces himself as Austin Creed on Up, Up, Down, Down.
No, but I'm
which,
still.
By the way, they celebrated their second birthday.
Good for them.
Congratulations.
Great, congrats,
2 years and still growing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he got hit in the face with a cake
by
Prince Pretty. Thank you, Prince Pretty.
There was no candles on the cake.
You know what the funniest thing about it was on that video, too, was that as he's walking the hall going after Prince Pretty.
Yes.
He runs into Shane.
And
Shane's like, what's going on? He's like, oh, nothing, boss. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
I just got some deal, you know, something to deal with. And I was just like, oh, yeah, that's exactly what it was. I was like, carry on. I was just like, yeah, I like that. I like that.
But yes, Xavier Woods, Austin, yay. Come on down. If you're here, hang out. You're going to be here with Mike Shinoda. Who else did we invite over? Who's on our list? Who else I said?
The announcer from Australia.
Oh, yes. Ozzyman.
Ozzyman.
You're in.
I have no idea.
Because I'm inviting everyone.
You invited everybody.
Yeah.
We're going to have all of Linkin Park here.
Vin Diesel.
Vin Diesel. I said, hey, if you want to come down.
Because Vin
some
Diesel's
D&D.
From the East Bay.
Play some D&D.
The Rock.
Dwayne Johnson. Come on. Everybody. Come on down here.
You know what? I almost want to commission somebody to actually draw that for us.
Oh, we can see it happen. You know what I want to do is get a photo of us in my backyard, like grilling, and just Photoshop them all in. But like have it be very bad Photoshop of like, you know, I want to see like Dwayne Johnson from freaking Scorpion King just sword up in the air and then, you know.
Oh, I thought you meant Scorpion King with the claws and the tail.
No.
Oh,
I don't want that one.
That terrible CG one.
We talked about that. I don't want to do that one. No, I want the Hakuma Sente, like that
guy.
And,
Hakuma
you
know,
Sente.
Yeah.
Okay, you know,
I get you.
Vin Diesel from, I'm going to go with Pitch Black. Vin Diesel, just there.
Sure.
It's going to look like that Beatles album.
It is going to look like that Beatles album, and it's going to be terrible and yet awesome. I'll say I took a picture with my drone. Oh, I'm getting a drone, guys, by the way.
I didn't know that.
I'm getting a really kick-ass drone from a friend.
That's pretty
dope. And I'm
going
to totally use it for, I don't know what we can use it for.
You know, I did ask Danny Trejo if we could actually interview him as well, so we could put him in the podcast.
Oh, yeah, Danny
sure.
Trejo.
Yeah.
Well, I'll make the.
And I know he saw the message, too.
I will make the drone. The drone can fly at a default height of 4 feet, so it'll be great for him. if you didn't know, Danny Trejo is really short, guys.
Wow.
I saw him in person at Comic-Con,
and
I was like...
still one of the most intimidating
fuckers
in the world.
But he's also very yoked dude. I'm like, dang. I would almost like, well, that's not Danny Trejo. He's like, oh, shit, yeah, it's Danny Trejo. But yes.
Go back to Konami.
But yeah, actually, I don't want to cut it off at that point. I'm like...
Yeah, really? No, fuck him.
I mean,
because
it's like,
yeah, no,
that's
done.
Shady. And you know, I don't...
No, you're done.
I don't get it.
You're
I'm
taking
done.
Somebody's livelihood away.
Yeah, no, you're done.
That's taking it too far.
It's like saying
it's one thing if you're throwing shade.
Yeah,
I understand that.
Yeah,
it's also one thing that you're shitting the bed on business and making video games right now. Fine, but then you're fucking with somebody's livelihood. That's no.
Yeah, I agree.
No,
I mean, what's the goal of all this exactly? What are
power?
Are you trying to get them back to Konami
no,
and pay
power.
Pennies on the dollar?
No, it's power. It's just power.
Yeah. No, fuck them. Fuck them.
That's all it really is power. It's the culture of how you live and everything. That's what happened in Silicon Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Almost a lot of companies in Silicon Valley were practicing this until the government stepped in and said, can't do that, guys.
Yep. Fuck them.
And it's the culture of it. It's the, hey, you stay, it's the indoctrination of being part of a group. And then when you're out forever. It's like, okay, well, you're not doing anything now. I actually hope that, that anyone, like, I don't know anyone who works at Konami. I mean, but. If anyone out there who doesn't find a job, man, come to the United States, man. They'll hire you here. They'll hire you here.
Yeah. I mean, I guess Konami, like U.S., I mean, I don't know what they can do there.
Yeah, they were actually reached out by the
the
website,
LA office.
And the LA office wasn't able to respond. And I don't think it was necessarily in the case of, oh, because they're backing the Japanese office, but it's more
mm-hmm.
so like they can't do anything.
They're like,
yeah,
eh,
no, they really can't. Same
come,
with like Cap.
Come
America,
to United, well, come
I mean,
to the United
same.
States.
Yeah.
Come to the United States. You can get a job at one of these companies, guaranteed.
Yeah. We
you know what
are
also
booming.
Sucks? Because I also did want to actually at some point do a Let's Play of like the Turtles in Time game.
Nope.
Actually, technically.
That was Konami.
No,
yeah.
It is.
It is.
But it now the Turtles property is EA?
Who, Ubisoft.
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 That means then we can download the Ubisoft version that they put out.
Was that the one that had the cheesy jazz music in the background?
Yeah.
Then no.
Hey, you want to play it? We don't want to give Konami credit because it actually. Has
hey, I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna play it. I'm just not gonna put it on the website.
No, I'm saying
no.
We on the website. Mm-hmm. We can just play that one because it's the.
So I bought that one. Game when they were worth a damn. Now they're not. So fuck them.
Yeah,
I'm done.
I'm thinking they're gonna change.
No, I'm done.
They're, well,
they're not turning.
I'm saying that someone's going to step in and change this because you can't have that. They can't do that forever.
When that happens, we may put some Konami games
let's
on
see.
The Play Channel. But until then.
Because I'm pretty certain that's going to change. I don't know how long it'll take, but that's a lot. Because Japan is not a big country and their industry is not ginormous. Someone's going to have to step in because at some point, there's going to be a lot of people out of a job.
And with Kojima, like.
And the first thing I'm going to say.
Wait, can't he hire them? I'm like.
I can't imagine him
like
well, here's the thing, though. But like, if someone wants to actually not like not in bad terms, but leave Kojima because there's another opportunity, a better opportunity somewhere else, Konami can say like, don't hire him.
Well, technically, if he's working for somewhere else, I don't think they have a say.
No, but Konami, can say like, "Hey, I wouldn't, you know, hire."
Like,
them.
How far are they willing to go? Doing. Well, how far are they willing to go? Because like, if he's two jobs later, well, yeah, fuck you guys.
Well, the first one is Kojima Productions, which they're going to go directly for anyways. And again, the fact that this is even a conversation,
so bad,
just kind of goes to show how far they're willing to go.
Fuck them. But I can't be like Kojima's production company couldn't pick up some guys.
Well, I'm sure they can.
It's probably not that big.
Well,
that's what he's saying.
But what
right?
I'm saying is, in this case, what if they want to go somewhere else
after that?
After that. Oh, okay.
I were like, listen, just create a shell company of like other people working together and just work somewhere else. At some point, Konami's gonna not have money, and they're gonna have to rethink this thought because they're gonna waste money on all this bullshit.
Maybe they'll restructure. And then I want an apology.
They're not going to say
a public apology, but I don't think that's
okay. I think you're asking for too much.
I know what they're going to say is, "Hey guys, we have new management. We have a new management. Here we go, guys." Pachu pachu. Done.
Yeah. Okay,
you're stopping.
Got it.
All right. So E3 news.
Yeah.
This is actually a pretty rad E3, in my opinion. I'm going to say because I'm excited.
About what?
Well, number one, Mario
South Park.
Well,
I mean,
because the game,
yeah, that,
well,
that looks really good.
We've been excited for that for a while, and they finally announced a release date.
Yeah.
Those fuckers. I have been like.
Great. Awesome.
Also, Sean, did you see that Square released a gameplay trailer for Kingdom Hearts 3, so it does exist?
Yeah. When I put it up on the our Facebook, they weren't going to, there wasn't going to be anything new at E3 for it. It's like, son of a.
Well, no,
because
you were like, it doesn't exist. You were a little upset about it.
I was. Yeah.
And then I saw, I posted it like, hey, look, they released the gameplay trailer.
Oh, it's like, thank God. Because
it's not on there. Well, it wasn't on their release chart. But it was they had those 2-year chart. And they didn't have it on that and Final Fantasy VII Remake, which that game, I'm like, I don't care anymore. Just stop. Just stop talking about it.
I care about.
I don't, because they've been talking about that almost as long as Final Fantasy XV. I think very little of Final Fantasy XV now.
Okay.
Because I've been waiting a goddamn decade. I did for 5 minutes and went, I don't think I should have waited 10 years for this.
Oh, no, I get.
10. Yeah, I was there when they announced it, Sean.
I think we were.
I was at that E3 when they announced it.
I think.
And I was like, fuck yes.
What's funny. Let's see. I think our video game store was freshly closed when they announced it.
No.
Which is
hilarious. They actually announced Final Fantasy 15. Was it in 2000? I was at E3 at the Sony booth. They're like, yeah, it's going to be PlayStation 3 exclusive.
Oh.
And then
okay,
I was like.
No, it wasn't. Okay.
Nope. I'm like, I don't even care anymore. So I know. I hear it's good.
It's fine.
I played it for a few minutes and went, nope, not interested.
That's kind of what happened with me and No Doubt.
What?
Okay. You mean like
when Stefani went solo.
Yeah.
No, the whole thing was she was supposed to go solo.
For like a year.
For a year. Get back together with the band. Work on the new album. But after her solo album, she got pregnant.
Yeah.
And I think what ended up happening is the guys from No Doubt were already had other projects.
Yeah.
So
and also, they're all starting their own families, too. A lot of them were like.
And that was my thing, was it's just like, if they don't hurry up and get back together, I know I'm going to lose interest. I know I'm not going to care anymore. And they came out with a new album, mm-hmm. and I was like, too little, too late. I'm sorry.
I get you.
I'd like, interest
is
gone.
Is it on, like, whatchamacallit? Like any streaming service that you might listen to, just to like have it on in the background, see how it is.
Nope.
No, really, didn't.
Well,
wow.
I don't have any streaming services. I just got the CDs.
Oh.
I'm one of the guys who still buy CDs.
Oh no, I mentioned we do, but I still like I can listen to.
I still have
better
Spotify.
I picked up the new Gorillaz album, by the way.
Dope.
Oh, that was good. We talked about that.
Bad ass. I love that album.
But yeah. But anyway, what I liked Nintendo releasing that. Ridiculous.
Prime 4.
Prime 4, mm-hmm. but I'm more talking about Mario Odyssey on how ridiculous it is.
Yep.
Number one thing I want to point out is that sound, that song that's playing there, fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yeah, I'm totally into this. That whole jazzy, ridiculous thing about the hat and Mario's adventures. And the fact that they start the game trailer with a T-Rex, and then you turn and look, and it's got a fucking Mario hat on with eyes on it, and he has a mustache. And I lost my shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I look at him like, this is fucking amazing. I'm glad I have a Switch. Yes, I'm a proud Switch owner. Metroid Prime 4. They didn't even for God's sake, they didn't show any gameplay, just the title, and the audience fucking went nuts.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you could talk about the whole thing about Nintendo fanboys, blah, blah, blah. But
true.
They're here to bring the fun. as Reggie said, they want to make everyone have fun playing the games, and all their games to me look adorably, amazingly fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ubisoft's announcement
Kirby.
For Kirby. Oh, Kirby looks
Kirby
dope.
Looked amazing. Splatoon looks amazing.
Was it Yoshi game? Oh, my God.
The new Yoshi game looked
Jesus.
Really good.
Now, I am going to point out that there's not a lot of third-party games we're going to mention Ubisoft. Ubisoft, the Mario and Rabbids. That looks fucking awesome.
It does.
It reminds me of Final Fantasy Tactics for the Game Boy Advance, except with, you know, Mario and Rabbids. I'm like,
yep.
Dude, this is fucking amazing. And it's pretty silly. It looks like very engaging gameplay. Rocket League looks dope.
God,
I mean, granted,
it really is
another version of Rocket League, but you're going to have carts and everything in there.
But it's on a Switch. That comes with you.
No, I know. My Switch is right there.
I know.
I'm pointing to it.
That's mobile Rocket League?
Yeah. And it's
cross-platform.
What the
hell is anybody going to do?
Cross-platform.
I know.
Rocket League. That's insane.
That's great.
That's fucking A. I just thought of something.
Yeah, the Switch is behind you. It's literally
you
staring.
You
want to
hold it? You want to hold it in your hands?
You want to hold it in your hands.
Not yet.
Okay. Not after the show.
But anyway, and then, you know, obviously they have the Fire Emblem Warriors.
Of course there's going to be Fire Emblem.
Yes, but it's not the typical Fire Emblem.
I don't know if you guys knew, but not the last one, but the one before it was supposed to be the last Fire Emblem.
Yeah,
game.
And they kept it going because it got popular.
Because of how awesome that last one was.
They were actually done. They were like saying, hey, we're over this.
Nintendo basically said, you guys are done. This is going to be your last one. So they said, like, all right. We're going to go out with a fucking bang then.
And then fucking huge.
And oh my God. The first Fire Emblem game that I ever played was Fire Emblem The Sacred Stones. And I was actually told, no, you need to play the first one that's just called Fire Emblem.
I did play that one. I like that one a lot. But Sacred Stones is really good.
And it's a good entry point because it's simpler than the standard Fire Emblem.
No, the original Fire Emblem, it is
difficult
punishing,
as fuck.
I would say, you gotta hate yourself a little to want to play that game. Not a lot, just a little. Just a little.
Like Bloodborne. Okay, I get you. Or Nier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get you. No problem.
But yeah, that was supposed to be the last one. And thankfully, it wasn't. That game got so many high reviews. It sold very well.
I mean, good.
I mean, that's a game that's still worth $40. And that's how much a 3DS game costs nowadays.
Yeah.
You can get the latest Fire Emblem for $40, but if you want to get this one, it's $40.
Yeah. A game that's like years old now.
Nintendo did everything right.
The only thing I will say, because they didn't do the typical press conference thing, they did their spotlight, which
that's
I was like,
fine.
Hey, that's cool.
That's how Nintendo's been doing things
lately. Yeah, I mean, they have their own Nintendo Direct and whatnot.
Yeah.
There was some things that they missed out on because they had to watch the interviews at E3. For anyone who doesn't know, let me preface this. E3 is the Electronic Entertainment Expo that happens in LA around
for
the summer.
Which, by the way, we're going next year. I don't know how, but we're going.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to you guys about that after.
Okay.
There's a scenario that may have played out for us.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
But it did it.
Wow.
You know,
by the way, I kept saying Fire Emblem, Fire Emblem, but the game I was talking about in general was Fire Emblem Awakening.
Yes.
Okay.
But E3 is like this big trade show where different companies get to talk about their new titles coming, new hardware announcements. It's also a place where indie games can go to kind of like get their foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Other products there. People know who've listened to this podcast. I worked for a video game company for many years, and I actually been to the show as a professional or exhibitor, as it were. And it is a very big spectacle. You know, it's a lot of lines. I would point out
always busy.
A lot of Axe body spray
sprayed
around.
God.
If there's any of that.
You're always busy.
E-Man's actually been to the show with me.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been to a couple of shows.
My wife has said to me that you have experienced the splendor that I have been given.
Hell, one time I went with a press pass.
Yeah. No, like that time when if people don't know.
It was the year after I went with Randy.
Yes, went with me where I was like, we had this really nice hotel room. I couldn't get a second bed. I offered you to stay in the bed with me and you wouldn't, but you know, it's whatever.
Yeah, but you left like at 6 a.m.
I did.
As soon as I heard the door close, I would crawl.
Yeah.
I wouldn't even get up. I would crawl and like almost like Vegas style on the fence, just start climbing up the bed and just like pass out by the time I got to the top.
But anyways, it's a big trade show event. That's what we're here to talk about. The game.
That's where I also found out that Randy likes Supernatural.
I do.
Yeah,
I did.
He does.
Not so much now, but yeah, I'm so over it now. But yeah, Nintendo did a really good job. They didn't. They, you can watch.
So did Microsoft.
I'm gonna kind of disagree on that, but
can you agree comparatively speaking to how they've been before?
Oh, yeah. Yes and no. I'm kind of. The fact that they're doing another, I'm going to jump from Nintendo. First of all, I'm going to say Nintendo, to me, did a good job. The only thing I'm...
They haven't done anything wrong.
The thing I'm disappointed by is it's not a lot of third-party support, which is not uncommon for a Nintendo to have. But at the same time, I want to see more games happen on the Switch because the possibilities seem endless to me. I mean, there's a new Pokemon game coming to the to the Switch, which is amazing.
Game Freak's working on a Pokemon game for the Switch.
A traditional RPG style or core game, as they refer
to
it.
They didn't show anything.
No,
but
they're working on it.
Just an announcement and went, oh. That's the dude who does Pokemon.
I wish that they would just do a Pokemon Snap game, but I get because you can't. There's no, on the Switch, there's no.
There's no camera, right?
Well, I believe there is a camera on it, but there's no. Like, sell your data on that thing. Oh. So it's not like you can get on the internet, like, because, you know, Pokemon Go and whatnot. But yeah, but there is a lot of things that I think they could do right with that. Like, there should be, like, I'm disappointed that Monster Hunter XX or whatever they're calling it.
Monster Hunter's on that, right?
No. But in Japan only. And I'm like, oh, that's so weak. It's the same trend again. But yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, all their titles they have coming look amazing on it. And also, I'm going to point out that something that hasn't been given a lot of flack on is a sequel to the Game Boy version of Metroid is coming. There's two Metroid titles we're getting.
That's right.
Yeah,
Samus Returns. Samus Returns. And I'm like, that's rad. I want to play that so bad because I actually have that game on my Game Boy, and I loved it so much.
Yeah, let's go.
It is very...
The first one where they actually changed the look of the Varia armor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because the Game Boy, the limitations were black and white, mm-hmm. they needed to show some sort of differentiation.
Yeah.
Between...
Her armor's actually cooler looking in the Game Boy version.
Yeah. Because that's what they had to do.
Yeah,
they had to make it look different. And it's not like they're going to make it look worse.
I think that's the one that one's referred to as Metroid 2. And then I'm like, why is there a sequel on the Game Boy? But yeah, Samus Returns, I'm excited for that. Metroid Prime,
good.
Oh my God, it looks so great.
They didn't show any footage of that either. It just said,
well, it's a trailer. It's the title. It's that title card.
I would call it a teaser.
Okay.
Yeah.
And yeah. I just want to make sure that we get this in there. Marvel vs. Capcom, they released the demo for the story mode.
Yes, actually, I was going to talk about that.
That's available now.
I haven't downloaded it on my system, but I have it on my, I did it on the, once I saw that, I immediately put it on, I opened up my phone. I said, all right.
But I think the one that got the bigger news.
Yeah, Emmanuel.
Was the Dragon Ball fighting game.
Yeah, so...
Holy
shit. So when Capcom releases this...
No.
It's not a Capcom game.
Well,
We're sticking to Dragon Ball, dude.
Yeah.
We're sticking to Arc System.
No, I get it, but...
Getting their hands on Dragon
Ball. Yeah, and I...
See?
I get
it. Dragon Ball... Now, what's it called? Dragon Ball...
Dragon Ball FighterZ.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay... You want to do a tag fighting game, 2D? Yeah. This is how you do a tag fighting game, 2D.
Well, hold on a second.
I don't think so. It's the two different things. They're two very separate things.
What, are you talking what?
Like, are you talking
Dragon
about Marvel
vs.
compared to Marvel vs. the Versus series? You comparing the two? No, they're two very... Dude.
How are they two different?
Because, number one, Dragon Ball... The characters in Dragon Ball Z fight... Completely differently.
Oh, yeah, no, it's completely different.
Yeah,
but
you're
still
talking
a 2D fighter.
It is a 2D fighting, but you're asking characters.
Mechanics.
Yes.
But yeah, the characters are different.
Saying you want to have Captain America tag in, teleport, jump somewhere, uppercut, a 10, 20, 40 hit combo, tag in his character again, teleport in, and that's what you want to see?
That's what I see online already.
That's not how Marvel. That's not how Marvel works. There's no teleportation.
Ultimate, at least. Not.
No?
Really?
There's no
teleport. There is. Deadpool teleports.
We're talking about Infinite, dude. And Deadpool hasn't been confirmed for this.
Oh, okay. Well,
also,
now Infinite.
Also, you're talking about one character that teleports.
I was
every
talking about
every character in Dragon
I was
Ball can
about
teleport.
Ultimate.
Yeah, and I'm talking about you're comparing it to
okay,
Dragon Ball
fine.
Z characters.
All right.
Who are majority of them are Saiyan or some sort of tie-in with the Saiyan world?
And
who
it's
can
gonna
do
be
that?
Better. I get it.
I don't know about better. It's different.
You know,
oh God, really?
Here's the thing.
Way more cinematic.
Here's the thing, though.
So you want your fighting games to be cinematic and not fighting?
Sometimes, yeah.
I don't know.
Sometimes, yeah. I mean, depending on what we're looking at.
You play Guilty
so when,
Gear,
when
right?
we've seen what they've done in Dragon Ball,
I mean, it looks,
do something
you know
like
what?
That.
The game
and
looks
they're
more
doing
like Dragon Ball.
Right.
That's what it is.
They're doing
looks
a really
like
good job.
Dragon
with
Ball
that.
As a series.
So I could understand in that sense.
Yes.
And again, to Sean's point, because he brought it up, Guilty Gear, Blaze Blue, The new Guilty Gear that came out looks gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And that's actually based off of like lower resolution, believe it or not.
Yeah.
I found out about that. Now getting their hands. So it's a company that does have an idea of how fighting games should work. Arc Systems is releasing this. And you know, this to me, you've seen those crossover games that came over to the States, which was really, it took a long time. I think it was called like J-Star Cup or something like that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that
yeah the
I own that.
But now
the
that
JoJo,
but now that that Arc has Dragon Ball, maybe there's some other animes that we can get in the fighting game format that they can handle.
I would love to see One Piece.
I don't
think
it's
going to
happen.
Well,
yeah, again,
so.
It's one of those things we've talked about before. There's a reason why Tatsunoko versus Capcom didn't happen.
Well, I'm
here.
Not talking about as far as getting other characters from
but like we're asking for one company to take another one company who may be able to do it in Japan. To bring it here in the States, who someone else may own that.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the issue.
I get what you're saying.
Depending on how well Dragon Ball does. If there's a dollar sign to that.
Sometimes they don't care.
Well,
yeah, I'm just saying that. I'm just saying.
Hey, money, like AC/DC says, money talks.
It does, but sometimes they don't care.
Okay, I guess you're allergic to making money.
Well, some people just don't. People actually.
To those
then
people.
I would point out then a subject we talked about before. Then you might want to talk to the guy who owns Calvin and Hobbes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Fair enough.
I'm like, well, he doesn't care about making money.
Okay.
At least that's that sense. I'm just saying that's anime is a very fickle
thing. Yeah, but I mean, even look at like J-Star Cup itself.
No, that took forever to get here,
It's
though.
Still there.
Yes, but it took forever
it's
and
still
a lot
there.
And
yeah.
a lot of work.
It's
and
still there, man.
It is, but how successful was it? How much money did it actually make?
I own it, and I don't like it.
Well, see, exactly. See, right there is the problem. Oh, it got here. How hard was it to get here, and how much did people enjoy it?
Hey,
how
man,
did you buy
it? If it's already gone through the door, it can do it again.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Japan, they care about the money. They care about what it takes. There's a reason why there was a sequel. I don't know if they actually fully released it or not, if it was only in arcade. But there's a Tatsunoko versus Capcom 2, and they didn't make it anywhere
else. Shit.
Well, it was arcade only, and they didn't make it on anything else. That's why that game only exists on the Wii. You think if they cared about money, they'd want to release it on everything.
Well, like I said, if it happened once, it could happen again.
Maybe when my son's 16, he'll get the chance to play it on a virtual world. My son is 5 now, so I'm just saying.
Okay.
Hey.
But yeah, Dragon Ball Z, it looks dope. I'm not going to disparage the Marvel vs. series because, number one, it's also it's a different type of fighting game.
I did actually play the demo for that, and the controls are a lot more different than they were for Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3.
They do feel more fluent and more.
I wouldn't say fluid. It seems very foreign to me.
Oh, really?
But when I was actually playing it, I sat down and gave it a try. It felt very foreign.
I don't know, and the versus series in general, like the Marvel versus, not the Capcom versus SNK franchise. That's a more straight up fighting.
You know what? I'm gonna be honest with you. I was hoping to see that. I was hoping to see Capcom versus SNK 3.
They're not. SNK's in a different world, right?
I know.
Yeah. So it's like that's not
I
how
know,
that works.
But
yeah,
man, that
Marvel versus
sweet.
Series. It's a very fast paced. Like you're gonna have to have like straight up like it was at a Twitch movement to that, and I dig that.
I still
love
think
those
the
moves.
Characters in Infinite look a little more like rough.
Well, they're also like three. The only character I didn't like in that was Chun-Li. I thought she looked weird.
Chun-Li
but everyone
is
else
strange. Dude.
But everyone
Gamora looks kind of rough.
No, she looks like how the game design were. It's not based off the movie.
It's
more off
it.
The comic book.
Yeah.
And they got the original. They got the voice actors from the Disney XD series.
Yeah.
Which I loved.
Which they did for the third one too.
Yeah.
And it's like this is fucking awesome.
I think Thanos looked rough.
I don't know. He looked great to me.
He did.
His face,
I thought he looked.
Man, I don't know.
Do you know what Thanos looks like? Because
I seen his face.
And that's what
he looks.
He's
starting
to smile.
Rough.
I don't know.
He looks a little shinier. I don't know.
Well, everybody looks shiny on
that's
that.
That's why
dude.
I'm like, I can't compare the Dragon Ball fighting game to the Marvel versus fighting game because they're totally different games, completely different fighting games. It's like saying, hey,
okay,
I'm gonna compare Virtual Fighter to Street Fighter.
No,
you can't do that.
You can't do that because they're three. One's a 3D fighter, one's a 2D fighter.
Actually, in this world now, Street Fighter V is a 3D fighting game.
Well, it's 3D background with 2D, fighting.
And
3D background.
And technically, Virtual Fighter still kind of falls in that world just because you can move in the X-axis. You're still fighting left and right.
When have I played the newest Virtual Fighter?
Exactly.
Exactly.
Also, you can.
That's an old wound. I'm
Also, it's on Xbox 360 and I can play it right now. And actually, it's on my it's on Xbox One now. Oh, yeah,
Is Sega making a new Virtua Fighter?
Actually, they might. You never know.
Hell no.
Sega's releasing.
Speaking of that, of Sega, actually, yeah, new Sonic game.
Yeah,
yeah.
Actually, Sonic.
And you know what?
Sonic Force looks cool too.
It does.
Actually, let me ask you guys this.
So you never know, buddy.
So here's let me ask you guys
just
this.
Just because it happened once.
Because of all the bad press that it's received, is the Sonic franchise, and we're gonna have to end with this because this is basically where
I feel like we gotta keep going.
Yeah,
I'm just saying.
I agree.
Going too far. I realize you guys want to, but going too far. We don't want to go past an hour. Is the Sonic franchise salvageable?
Yeah.
I don't know. Forces looks really good.
It does.
It
just
looks
in the right hands. It'd be fine.
I know. I think Forces look Sonic Forces. It's the trailer I saw. It's actually one of the games. I'm like, I want to play this on my
Switch.
Keep
it away from the hands of guys who did Sonic Boom. Done. That's all you
What's
gotta do.
Weird is kids like Sonic Boom. My son loves Sonic Boom.
The game's trash.
It was supposed to be like tied in with the cartoon.
With the cartoon,
right?
Yeah. Yes, the game's trash.
Yes, but my son likes it, and there's other kids who like it. Are you buying Sonic games?
No.
Okay, then you're not the demographic.
I guess.
I bought one because my son said, "Hey, I like Sonic Boom, Dad. We play the demo." I'm like, okay, and he plays it.
So the last few that I did hear about.
But Sonic Forces looks really good.
Were Sonic Colors for the DS.
That was good.
That was good.
And Sonic Generations, just the first Sonic. Not the current Sonic.
Yeah.
The first Sonic,
the classic one.
And did a really good job with that.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you play the Sonic.
And then Rivals for PSP was good, too.
If you play the classic games, they had Sonic 4. That's essentially just you playing the ones from Sega Genesis.
Yeah.
And those are the ones who grew up with it. That's how you play it. Like, unfortunately, or in Sean's case, there is a generation of kids who only know Sonic from Sonic Boom, and that's the game they like.
Yeah.
And that's how it is. That's like the saying, there's a whole generation of kids who only know Star Wars from their prequel films. And is that terrible? To me, a little bit. But can't argue.
Not a little bit. A
you
lot.
You can't argue that it brings kids into this franchise.
Sure.
So you can't. It's like saying, "Hey, you like that version of Batman? No, that's a terrible Batman." I would arguably say that the Batman Arkham series, it's not the gameplay itself solid, story arc and what they did with Batman not so good to me. It's like,
really?
You're
a fan of the story?
I'm not a. No, I don't care about
which
I'm
Arkham.
Like, any the first one actually. I'm like,
okay.
First of all, who's the dumbass who allows this to happen to him? I'm like, if Batman's this
over
smart,
and over and over
yeah.
again,
and it's like, come on, bro.
But that's your.
And
thing
also,
about Batman.
Well,
though.
No. I'm just saying in general. And also, why do you put all the most terrible people into one fucking place?
That's not Batman's fault.
A little. He puts them there. He literally puts them there.
He has to put them there. Where else is he going to put them?
Anywhere else. Anywhere else. The world is a fucking huge place.
It's the
only place I would think
that
the only person who doesn't get it wrong is probably Superman because he has the freaking Phantom Zone. They don't give a shit there. Most people don't get out of there.
But if you're going off Injustice, he just kills them outright.
Well,
whatever.
Then you should do that. But I'm just saying, that's the world we live in where that's what you're into. That's what you're into.
Okay. Well.
But yeah.
So you guys think that.
I totally think it's salvageable.
It's salvageable?
Yeah, it's salvageable.
Obviously, you want to have it have the core elements of Sonic.
Yeah.
If you grew up on that. It's like, yeah, I fucking loved it. I think the fact that it had a classic, that they have a lot of crazy villains.
Yeah, all the recent villains that they created.
I was like, oh, shit.
They're all getting together.
I'm like, oh, fuck. The trailer was fucking awesome.
Doesn't have to be Robotnik all the time, or Eggman, or whatever you want to call him.
I like Robotnik better than Eggman.
Yeah, I do, too.
Yeah, that sounds more intimidating, right?
It's really scary. I know in Japan, that's what they call him, is Eggman. And if you play the Mario Run games, it's Dr. Eggman.
Sure.
Which makes,
okay.
You know, it makes more sense, because he does have...
He is shaped like an egg.
He is shaped like an egg. All his gear is, like, egg-shaped. I don't actually know why they call him Robotnik, because...
I don't know either. That was his name in the first Sonic games.
Right, yeah.
Well,
in Japan,
changed it. I
well,
don't know.
No,
Japan,
in Japan, in
whatever.
Japan, that's what they called him.
Japan, he was always known as
Was he always Eggman?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, kind of like how Mega Man is known as Rockman.
Yeah, there's Rock and
Roll. I kind of like Rockman a little better. Sounds awesome. But so does Mega Man.
I like Rockman better. Rockman sounds way cooler to me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, all those names were based off of genres of music.
Yeah, yes, they were.
Rockman, Roll.
Because it's rock and roll.
Yeah, rock and roll. Proto Man is blues.
Yeah, he's blues.
Bass and treble.
Treble and bass.
Yeah.
With music. I feel like we're going to need a part two of this because there's so much that happened at E3.
I think, we'll do a part two. I definitely don't
mind. There's so many cool things. If you're listening to this, folks, now, I'm going to ask you to check us out on, I guess, on YouTube and our Instagram and Twitter, because we're going to be at Hydra Comic Con this weekend.
Uh-huh.
And I just want to talk about that. If that's cool, we're going to be at this
some
convention.
Filming.
Actually, at this point, we'll...
Well, that's what I'm saying. We'll be... That's what I'm saying. If they're listening to it now, to look for us on social media for it. That's okay. What I said. Check us out on our Twitter, Instagram, YouTube page. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, by all means, go for it.
We're going to have stuff there. We're going to be... There's a bunch of voice actors we're going to see. It turns out my friend Ben will be there. I wonder if we can crash at his table again like we did at San Francisco Comic Con.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, we will be hanging out there doing interviews of stuff, as we mentioned in the last podcast. I don't know if we're going to do that.
Cosplayers and people.
I don't know if we're going to do the whole, was it video record, Instagram, Twitter chain that we had talked about.
I don't know. That might be hard.
I don't think it's not impossible, but it's one of those things where I'm like, I don't think we have enough people for this.
It's just the three of us.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
We need like...
Well, because if someone's recording a video, if
one
someone,
person.
We're going to need at least two, because it's going to have the chain.
Someone who,
that
yeah.
one person is going to be really busy.
So no, it's more of the menial job of like, this person's got to hold the camera, and then someone's going to have to Instagram
that.
Because
as is, we're switching that off now already, right?
So I think it'd be five. But anyways, yeah, the three of us will be there. We're going to be in uniform. Okay, no, uniforms. We don't have that. We got to get on that.
We got to get on uniform?
Well, not uniform, but like a shirt that says Word Vomit on it.
Oh,
Word Bombing Podcast.
Okay.
But yeah, Hydra Comic Con in Santa Clara. Check us out. We're going to be, hopefully we're going to get interviews of some voice actors that we like.
Oh, that'd be
there's some
dope.
Really cool cosplayers. And yeah. There's a couple cool panels.
That'd be dope.
There's a really dope panels. And I hope everyone has a good Father's Day.
Oh, that's right.
Because that's this weekend.
Yep.
Sean, happy Father's Day.
Thanks, man. Happy Father's Day, Randy.
Emmanuel, maybe one day. Happy Father's Day to you. No?
Oh, hell no.
No? Do you? Okay, it's
okay.
Cool. Fair enough. I'm going to drop a kid off at your place. Like, oh, look, happy Father's Day, motherfucker.
I'm not even going to answer the door.
You're not going to answer the door.
There's only one reason why Randy King's is at my door
right
now.
No, I'm just going to knock and then run away.
Just leave a basket on his doorstep?
Yeah. It's going to say free lumpia on it, and he's
going
to open it. I'm like,
that.
Oh,
he's
it's just, a baby. What
no.
the fuck?
That'd be funny if he just opens it up and it's a pizza.
No, that's what's going to happen. So he's going to leave the basket. I'm not going to even open the door.
And it's a pizza.
Like a day later, he's going to like, hey, dude, did you get the lumpia I sent you?
You're like, ew.
Wait, what?
It's like, no, man. Yeah.
But the thing is,
baby.
Lumpia can be eaten anytime.
No, not if it's left outside. You don't want to
just reheat
that.
It.
You do realize it's that we're in summertime, which means ants are all over the place.
And, yeah, and animals. Mind. And okay. I'm like, I don't know. Why don't you leave some food outside and see how that works out for you? Because not in my neighborhood.
No, why don't you go buy some lumpia and put it outside your house?
Well, I mean,
see how it works for a day.
Not outside. Not in the fridge is just what I was saying. Whatever. It's fine.
I'm going to have spoiled lumpia because of you.
He hasn't even done it.
Not yet, but maybe I will now.
I think it's pretty safe to assume that he's going to.
Okay.
I might. We'll see. I don't want to waste the lumpia, though, maybe.
Yeah, don't waste lumpia.
We'll see. Anyways, yeah, Hydra Comic Con tomorrow and the day
for
after.
For us, yeah.
For you listening to us now, check us out on YouTube, which our channel is... I'm putting
Word Vomit Productions.
And then Instagram, which is Word Vomit Podcast.
Yep.
And then our Twitter, which is Word Vomit Pod.
Pod. Yeah.
And then you'll see hopefully a lot of stuff we put up there.
Yep. Our Let's Plays and whatnot. I mean, really.
Alrighty, guys. So, for Randy Kings and for Sean Vander, I am Emmanuel reminding everybody to keep it shiny.